I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, Supreme Court upholds objections to respondents' application to cross-examine some witnesses in election petition challenge. Mixed reaction to government daily media briefing agenda. Four-member committee inaugurated to help resolve government and hospitals pharmacist association strike. TUC asks expatriate companies working in Ghana to respect labor law. Human rights lawyer withdraws writ against Ghana Medical Association. And Pope Francis challenges world leaders to end the cult of money and value the poor. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
An application by the respondent seeking leave of the court to cross-examine some witnesses of the petitioner has been refused by the Supreme Court. The 9-member panel, in a unanimous decision, said there are already enough evidence before the court and therefore the presence of the 6 witnesses is not necessary. The respondents were seeking to cross-examine the MP for Tanu North, Frida Prempe, MP for Brekum East, Richard Nyama, and presiding officer for Savelugu, Abdullahi Abdul Hamid, and 3 others. The latest move by government to hold daily press briefings has received mixed reactions from opinion leaders and the public. While some have lauded it, saying it will deepen transparency at the presidency, others are of the view that it will face challenges if government takes advantage of the media to only push its political agenda. A 4-member committee has been inaugurated to provide oversight responsibility in resolving the strike by members of Government and Hospitals Pharmacists Association. The inauguration followed the appointment of the 4 persons to the committee by the Chief of Staff, Prosper Baini. A statement from the ministry expressed government's commitment to resolving the issues within 30 days. The committee has Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations as its chairman. And Pope Francis has marked his first major speech on the financial crisis with a call on world leaders to end the cult of money and to do more for the poor. He told diplomats in the Vatican that free market economics has created a tyranny in which people were valued only by their ability to consume.
Radio Ghana, number 1 current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The Supreme Court yesterday, by a unanimous decision, refused an application by the 3 respondents seeking to cross-examine some 6 witnesses who deposed to affidavits attached to the affidavit of the petitioners. Counsel for President Mahama, the Electoral Commission and the NDC had sought leave of the court to cross-examine the MP for Tano North, Frida Prempe, MP for Brekum East, Richmond Nyama, and a presiding officer from Savelugu, Abdullahi Abdul Hamid, and 3 others who have stated in their affidavit that the Electoral Commission had annulled results from a number of polling stations in their constituencies as a result of violations such as overvoting and voting without biometric verification. But the 9-member panel ruled that there is already enough evidence before the court, and therefore the presence of the 6 witnesses is not necessary. Bubu Klinogo and George Asikri have filed this report.
The court directed that it shall adopt an affidavit evidence during the hearing of the presidential election petition, in which three leading members of the MPP are challenging the validity of President John Mahama's election. The court indicated that only the main parties involved in the petition shall give oral evidence. It further directed that if any other witness is to give oral evidence, a strong and compelling case must be made for it. As a result, the second petitioner, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, has been in the witness box giving testimonies since last month. But counsel for the respondent say it was time they cross-examined the six witnesses because of the specific allegations they made in their affidavit. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, argued that the testimonies of four out of the six witnesses have been confirmed by the Electoral Commission and there was no dispute to be resolved by cross-examining them. He noted that his side has no problem with the other two being cross-examined. After listening to the argument from the parties, the judges went on an indefinite break, returning to refuse the application. Mr. Chikata then proceeded with his cross-examination, focusing on the allegations of use of duplicate serial numbers. A major controversy, however, ensued when Mr. Addison wanted Dr. Bawumia to tender a list of counterpart polling stations using duplicate serial numbers that they have prepared in response to a request by Mr. Chikata. Mr. Chikata opposed the move, saying it was alien to him that during cross-examination, another party would want to tender a document. It took the panel more than half an hour to rule that the document could not be tendered at that moment. Just after the ruling, Mr. Addison also opposed an attempt by Mr. Chikata to tender a list on the basis that the list was prepared out of their answers, which was not before the court. Mr. Chikata, for his part, described the objection as baseless, since the witness had confirmed every information on the list.
The information is embodied in this, and for the purposes of our cross-examination, what we are seeking to do is to have our list tendered. We are not about to tender somebody else's list which we are not able to vouch for, my lords. We cannot do that.
Very well. You hold your breath. I'll take the poll.
My lords, and the reason for tendering these Exhibit 32 following was for us to provide the counterparts. Otherwise, those exhibits that are there, NDC 32 following, they are there without the counterpart. What is the purpose? That is why counsel kept saying he needed for us to provide the counterparts before he can go on with his cross-examination. Now, with that, what is the problem about going?
I'm taking the poll. So me, I don't see any issue here, but I'll take the poll and declare the tendering is the fact till I think re-examination stage.
Yes. We're most grateful. Now, you have the list that we have provided attached to 25 sheets. My lords, we will first tender the list in reference to Exhibit 32, which he has confirmed. We'll tender that at this stage.
Lords, we are objecting to the tendering of this list.
My lords, I think I've made myself very clear. This list is in reference to Exhibit NDC 32. But in this list, reference is made to the counterpart serial number information that has been provided. In addition to that counterpart serial number information, we provided information about the duplicates, which the witness has confirmed.
Case adjourned to 20th May 2013 for continuation. Continuation will include the ruling proceeding. Yes.
Nana Atudazi, who speaks for the NDC legal team, express surprise that the petitioners would not want their witnesses to be cross-examined.
Counsel pushed further and the court came out with the rule eventually that, listen, we have enough material for a way of evidence for us to make a determination along the line, one way or the other in this case. And for us, we don't think that the evidence of the six or so witnesses is really material to determination of this matter. The strange thing was that the petitioners were literally running away from their witnesses. Secondly, Chachichikachi, of course, then continued exercise heckling the evidence of Mr. Bawumia. There was an outstanding matter where the petitioners were to respond to certain issues raised in some of the pink sheets. They brought back these documents. According to Mr. Chachichikachi, what he's seeing is that there are fresh matters which have been raised in the new list. And the responses reflect some other material. area which we have not had the opportunity of investigating, and that the witness had actually admitted the document we gave them. So if you add any new thing, it means that those new material must be readmitted.
Madame Gloria Kufu from the camp of the petitioners has also been explaining their reaction regarding the day's proceedings.
We took the view that calling those witnesses for purposes of cross-examination was not warranted by the rules of court, since we had not joined issues. It is where there is disagreement on the facts that you will see also to put your side of the matter across to the court through cross-examination. We, however, said there were two witnesses whose affidavit had not been admitted to. The facts in the affidavits had not been admitted to by any of the parties, and that we did not mind if those witnesses were cross-examined. The court went into chambers and came out with a ruling that all the three applications are refused on the grounds that the court has enough evidence through examination provided by Dr. Bawumia, through extensive cross-examination by all the counsel for the respondent, and also on the face of the pink sheets.
Mr. Chikata has so far spent 11 days cross-examining Dr. Bawumia, and the question on the lips of many is, when will he finish his cross-examination?
That was Bubu Klinogo and George Asekiri's report.
The Judgment Deaths Commission will resume public sittings on Monday, May 20th. A statement signed by the Public Relations Officer of the Commission, George Dove, said two institutions and an individual will appear before the Commission on the set date. They are the Solicitor General, representative of the Irrigation Development Authority, and Nana Wusu Achiao Prempe. The statement said members of the public who wish to testify or volunteer information are to report at the Commission's office to give their statement. Those who also intend to testify but are unable to be present in person are to submit memoranda to the Commission. The Commission reminds the public that sittings will be held at 10 a.m. each day.
The communications director of the NPP, Nana Akomiya, has welcomed the newly launched government's daily briefing on national issues. He said although the briefing is nothing new, he believes it will deepen transparency at the presidency. Speaking on Behind the News, Nana Akomiya, who was a former information minister, expressed some reservations about the briefing. He wondered why it has been limited only to the presidential press corps. Nana Akomiya also raised issue with the location of the briefing. He called for the passage of the Freedom of Information Bill, which he said will lower the inhibition of information flow in the country.
It is not a new thing at all. It's just continuing a program that has already been there and that is worthwhile. It's a good thing. Any activity that deepens public engagement by the government is good. So we are happy with it. It will serve as a single clearinghouse where standing issues can be discussed between the government and the media, and by extension the general public. So it is very good. By that, they will have one or two reservations. I don't know what exactly it is, because it is being held at the president. One would have thought that it would be dealing with issues about the president, the president's schedule, the president's itinerary, the president's activity, and so on. And also because it is with the presidential press corps. But when you read the statements and you listen to various pronouncements, it looks like it's actually for the entire government machinery. Now, if it's for the entire government machinery, then you don't limit it to the presidential press corps. And also the venue, the better venue for it will be the Ministry of Information. It is the Ministry of Information which is the central government agency for disseminating information. That is where you have trained professionals in the Information Services Department with a whole directory. That is where you have staff to support the public engagement activities of government. You will find out that on some days you go there and really there's nothing more interesting to talk about, and you just end up just repeating the whole stuff, which then would threaten the importance of the whole exercise. I also wish that they complement it, since there is public engagement. The Freedom of Information Bill is very crucial in this matter of making government more transparent and allowing the media the kind of space to find information and disseminate information.
Right, Nana, I just got a text message that says that this is the first time Nana Akomiya is admitting positives from his political opponents. But then why have some members of your party described the move as propagandist.
Describing it as propagandist would be premature because the thing hasn't started. So let's start and then we'll see how it goes. If it's propagandist, all of us will see. And, you know, it will lose value very, very quickly.
Well, the communications director of the NPP and former Minister of Information, Nana Kwamea.
And the deputy executive director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleimana Brahima, says though the move by government to hold daily briefings is a step in the right direction, it must endeavor to empower citizens to acquire information rather than determining what it wants the public to hear. Speaking on Radio Ghana's Behind the News, Mr. Brahima said that daily briefings will be fraught with challenges if government does not adopt strategies to overcome them. The state media must also be circumspect in its reportage and not be seen as a tool for branding government propaganda.
It is important to empower citizens to actually access and use the information that they need rather than determining what information that government wants citizens to hear. And that is why I think that some people would describe it as being propagandist. But beyond that, I also share in the view that having it as a daily affair may be quite difficult to manage. Especially if the government or the communication machinery of government is not really prepared with this crisis communication strategy. Because, you know, having a daily affair means that government is going to put out there a lot of information. And therefore, there's going to also be a lot of analysis of government information, a lot of analysis on government communication. Mm-hmm. And research institutions who would now have the basis and data to be able to track pronouncements of government and know periodically whether certain things that are said are being done or not. And also, I think that the media would have to be quite careful in order not to be seen as actually brandishing government information and ultimately becoming tools of government propaganda, particularly the state-owned media. I think that government information machinery would have to also be prepared with this crisis communication strategies because a lot of things are likely to be going wrong.
Deputy Executive Director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleimana Brahima. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Supreme Court upholds objections to respondents' application to cross-examine some witnesses in election petition challenge. Mixed reaction to government's daily media briefing agenda. Four-member committee inaugurated to help resolve government and hospitals pharmacists association strike. TUC asks expatriate companies working in Ghana to respect labor law. Human rights lawyer withdraws writ against Ghana Medical Association. And Pope Francis challenges world leaders to end the cult of money and value the poor.
The Minister of Health, Sheria Ite, has inaugurated a four-member committee to provide oversight responsibility in resolving the strike by members of the Government and Hospitals Pharmacists Association. A statement signed by the Head of Public Relations at the Ministry, Dan Osman-Win, said the inauguration followed the appointment of the four persons to the committee by the Chief of Staff, Dr. Prosper Bani. Inaugurating the committee, Madame Aite noted that government is committed to resolving all the grievances of GOSPA within 30 days of the inauguration. She therefore urged the members under the chairmanship of Nchibuesi Akosechere, Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, to work around the clock and make recommendations which will be forwarded to the Chief of Staff for the necessary action to be taken by government to enable GOSPA members to return to work. According to the minister, the committee should sit with all the stakeholders, especially the GOSPA leadership, to ensure that every grievance is adequately addressed for a lasting solution to be found to the impasse.
The committee is set up by the Ghana Health Service to share information on cross-border public health diseases has met in Accra to deliberate on how to meet the deadline set by the World Health Organization. The WHO member countries were asked to form committees to find ways of handling their public health issues. Ghana has complied and is putting measures in place to start working. Priscilla Wusu-Anse was at their first meeting and has found this report.
The World Health Organization, through the International Health Regulations,
IHR, which regulates member states, is demanding from members how they will inform the world on their public health issues. The Director of Public Health of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Joseph Amankwa, who is the head of the committee, said the committee is made up of persons from various organizations such as health, transport, NADMO, and customs.
We are expected to have not only done the assessment which we have done, but to ensure that all the 8 capacities are being implemented. In other words, we have the capacity, human, material, and what have you, resources to implement them. And so this is what we are doing now. One of coordination capacity is a steering committee, a national, multi-sectoral, multidisciplinary body that will serve, you know, as a rallying point for each country to look at all the nitty-gritties, the implementation, the rollout, and what have you, of the regulations. And so this committee was inaugurated last month by the Minister of Health. And then we are supposed to have what they call national focal point. That's where all the reports, that's what we're just discussing, will go to. Then a team will be set up to do the assessment and to determine criteria that WHO will determine whether what has happened can be classified as a public health event of international concern.
Dr. Amankwa added that the committee will look at areas such as mapping up of available human resource, database of response teams, create risk communication plans, and also develop a national contingency plan. Ghana is expected to present its policy at the World Health Assembly in June next year.
That was a report by Priscilla Uswansa.
The General Secretary of the National Pensioners Association, Edward Ameibo, says the Pension Medical Fund, which will be launched next month, will raise funds to top up the NHIS and to meet situations not covered by the scheme for members of the association. He said the association is going to levy all members to pay an amount monthly so that the fund can grow. Mr. Ameibo stated that pensioners will be educated on the provision and time of the benefits of the fund, as well as certified health providers for the fund. Mr. Ameibo said this at a media launch in Accra. A report by Mary Atuli.
The National Pensioners Association is a voluntary organization of pensioners on the SNIT pension scheme. It was founded to unite all SNIT pensioners to enable them pursue their common good and well-being. The General Secretary of the Association, Edward Ameibo, said the fund would also help solve problems most pensioners encounter in accessing health care. He said the fund is timely because of the deteriorating conditions of pensioners. He said such conditions cannot be allowed, adding that it is the right of every worker to retire with dignity.
The NHIS does not cover every disease. And there are certain diseases it covers only to a certain point. Now, if you take what is one of the common ailments of old people, male, it's prostate. So the NHIS will help you after that screening and beyond. But when it is detected that you have cancer, it has developed into a cancer, they wash their hands off. They can't help you again. Because at that stage, the treatment is very, very, very expensive. Then there are certain things, they are just petty, petty things, but they are very expensive to use. Like hearing aids. You understand the hearing aid now is 5 million. That is a good one. So it's not that they are not helping us. If we read this one, we are saying that we are going to top up where it is necessary and then areas where it doesn't come back.
Mr. Ameibo noted that the fund is not sponsored by government or SNIT, but it has their goodwill. The chief patron is the Asantehene Otumfuo Osei Tutu.
Mary Atuli reporting.
The General Secretary of the Trade Union Congress, Kofi Asamoah, has asked multinational enterprises operating in the various sectors of the economy to adhere to labor laws. He said in order to increase productivity, workers' rights must be upheld irrespective of the nationality of the employer. Mr. Asamoah said this when the TUC Labor Research and Policy Institute launched a report on how unionism impacts on workers in the Chinese construction firm at the Buidan site. The findings show that though the formation of unions has made important gains, more needs to be done to improve the working conditions of employees. Sophia Koko and Cynthia Mboating have filed this report.
In 2008, the African Labour Research Network undertook a study on Africa-China relations with special focus on relations impact on African labour. The Ghana chapter of the report focused on the Redump, which was the largest Chinese investment in the country. The TUC therefore initiated a programme to evaluate the impact of the formation of unions and the conduct of labour relations between Ghana and Chinese firms. The Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, said, "Trade unionism helps to improve the lives of workers and build mutual beneficial relationship between local workers and multinational enterprises." He touched on the right of workers as outlined in the 1992 Constitution and asked foreigners to adhere to them.
Yes, countless research in Ghana has shown the positive effects of unions on employment and working conditions of work. The findings of this research are not different. There is also ample evidence to show that the presence of trade unions not only improve the lots of workers, but it also largely helps to improve productivity at their respective workplaces. I therefore urge all stakeholders to use their psychological experience to campaign for promotion of decent work in Chinese and other multinational enterprises. I would also wish to use this opportunity to draw all employers, including multinationals, attention to the fact that the national laws of this country, the national constitution and the labor laws of this country, provide for the rights of workers. And the rights of workers include the right form and join the union of the workers' tribes to promote his or her economic rights. And it is our expectation that all employers, including multinationals, should respect the rights of workers.
The Deputy Minister of Information and Labor Relations, Nchibo Siako Seshere, in an address, cautioned those who compromise on safety at workplaces, saying the ministry has been strengthened to deal with any multinational enterprise that violates the labor laws of the country.
There are a lot of people who are paid below the minimum wage, and we are telling them from this book that they should change their mind, because the Jakarta Committee has decided to form joint teams to do inspections on recalcitrant workplaces, put hide behind and just exploit workers of this country.
Some of the benefits of the formation of unions, as outlined in the research findings, include improved medical care, paid maternity leave, and improved in wages.
That was a report filed by Sophia Koko and Cynthia Boateng.
The new Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, yesterday met with staff of the corporation to outline his vision. Revenue regeneration and pensions were some of the issues discussed during the interaction. Major Donchebe was accompanied by some directors of the corporation. He mentioned discipline and cleanliness as important areas he will focus on. Georgette Cole has the details.
The short interaction with staff and directors of departments was an opportunity for the new director general to meet the persons he will be working with for the next 3 years. Major Donchebe charged the staff to be punctual to work and serious in the discharge of their duties.
Every department will have targets, just wait. And every human being will have targets, just wait. And so between July and December, we'll be able to ask ourselves whether we are able to achieve those targets. So we need to be measured by certain goals, certain objectives. And I'm going to ask all the directors to submit to me the six-month target, half-year target of their department, starting July, December. And I'd like to be convinced that these targets have been rolled off the staff. So the target of the department will be shared amongst the staff. And every quarter, they will require our own departments are in relation to those targets. That is all our action.
Major Donchebe urged all to work with him and the management staff to make GBC re-establish its lead in the arena of broadcasting. The Deputy Director General of GBC, Kwabena Sapoanani, used the occasion to bid farewell to all staff as he will be retiring next month.
Georgette Cole reporting.
The management of GBC wishes to draw the attention of the public to an imposter by name Eric, who claims to be an employee of the corporation and defrauds unsuspecting clients of huge amounts of money, especially from music artists. The corporation wants that anybody who transacts business with the said Eric does so at his or her own risk.
He Human rights lawyer Tuinis Edward Damuzu has withdrawn his interlocutory application against the Ghana Medical Association that sought to enforce Section 172 of the Labour Act following the strike by medical doctors in April. Mr. Amuzu filed a writ at the Fast Track High Court praying for a declaration that the doctor's action was illegal, hence they should be compelled to resume work. However, the doctors have since been at post. Counsel for Mr. Amuzu, Charles Bawedria, yesterday told the court that the interlocutory application has been muted by the calling off of the strike and therefore there is no need to pursue it any further. Counsel for the doctors, Dominic Brenya Ochere, prayed the court to award cost against the plaintiff, Tuinis Amuzu. This was, however, opposed to by counsel.
Pope Francis has called on world leaders to end the cult of money and to do more for the poor, marking his first major speech on the financial crisis. He told diplomats in the Vatican that free market economics has created a tyranny in which people were valued only by their ability to consume. Money has to serve, not to rule, he said, urging ethical financial reforms. Meanwhile, the Vatican's own bank announced it would publish its annual report for the first time. The Institute for Works of Religion, which has been at the center of various financial scandals in recent years, is to hire an external accountancy firm to ensure it meets international standards against money laundering.
Now to end the news, the main points again. An application by the respondent seeking leave of the court to cross-examine some witnesses of the petitioners has been refused by the Supreme Court. The 9-member panel, in a unanimous decision yesterday, said there is already enough evidence before the court and therefore the presence of the 6 witnesses is not necessary. Multinational enterprises operating in Ghana have been urged to respect the country's labor laws. General Secretary of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, who said this at the launch of an industrial report by the TUC Labor Research and Policy Institute, stated that the rights of all workers, no matter their nationality, must be respected in order to increase productivity. And Pope Francis has marked his first major speech on the financial crisis with a call on world leaders to end the cult of money and to do more for the poor. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.